This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We're glad that you've chosen to turn on the radio and join us here on WDCX, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, noon on Sundays. Check us out online at WDCXradio.com. We're just, we're privileged to be able to talk to you every week. And if you have never heard of the show or heard the show, check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Go on programs, click Christ Together Radio, and you can listen to past programs and episodes we've done. We exist here to just highlight what God is doing in the Western New York region, within the church community, within people who are just engaging in everyday life and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He is Lord and Savior, and that He saves us and redeems us from our sinful state. And we just want to celebrate people who are doing that in all different walks of life and different organizations. If you listened last week to our show, we brought in Jeremy Hazelton of the Village Church. Jeremy's going to join us again today. And the us is Ryan Cozy, Dr. Ryan Cozy from the chapel at Cross Point, and myself, Brett Larson, as we sit here every week and share with you stories of the gospel at work. Whether it be just a everyday person who has committed him or herself to kingdom work, what we call kingdom work, which means sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to so many people in just their everyday life, organizations, whether they work in an organization, whatever, we want to know about it too. So if you know of somebody or if you're doing it yourself, hey, let us know, and we'd love to feature you here on Christ Together Radio. Jeremy's a two-time Christ the Radio, actually three-time now.
Three-time.
Four-time, because it'd be like, two different topics, four times. He's a regular, and so he needs no introduction. Today we're talking about, it's kind of a carryover from last week. We invited Jeremy back to talk about bivocational ministry, which means ministry that is funded through other means than the traditional understanding of people give to an organization or a nonprofit, a 501c3 church or something like that. That's the traditional way, and then they pay somebody to do ministry. This is a new and different thought that I think plays so well in our post-Christian world. And it's something that we need to pay attention to in the church. We really do. We need to kind of grab the principles and the concepts that guys like Jeremy are pioneering, really, and apply them to our lives and kind of understand what this is. Because if we don't get this, we're at risk of perhaps not being effective as we should be in the church. Hmm. So Jeremy. Which one's on which side here? Ryan, it's great to have Jeremy in studio with us today.
Yeah, it really is. I'm looking forward to today's conversation. You know, cause one of the things that I feel sets this up nicely is, last week we were talking. One of the comments that came up was just this idea that, well, you know, if you have these dreams or you have this vision, but you don't have the resources, well, I guess it just can't happen. And I feel like one of the wonderful things about being in the Northeast in a very post-Christian area is that you run into people that are more likely or more hopeful to say, I've got this dream, I've got this vision for how I think that this can happen. I think God's calling me to do this, whether it's starting a church or starting a secular venture or starting a faith-based nonprofit. And the question of long-term sustainability comes up. I feel like this is the day and this is the age where if you're not thinking creatively, you're in trouble. And so our context forces this conversation. Mm-hmm. And we will either embrace that, or we will lose more of an edge on our ability to be the salt and light that God has called us to be. So even though you may not see the traditional solve for your resource problem, that doesn't mean that the mission stops. It doesn't mean that at all. It means you better start thinking creatively. You better start thinking differently about ways in which survival can happen. And we press into that, fully trusting God. I believe His sovereign hand is in this. But I also believe that He gave us creative ideas. And those creative ideas are giving birth to long-term sustainability for his work in the region.
And the issue is very real, because you might be driving along thinking, well, my church seems fine. I go to this really big, nice, pretty church, and all the pastors, you know, we got 43 pastors on staff and whatever. Or even if you're just in a church that has 3 full-time pastors, like, what's the big deal? Things are the same. Well, they're not. I mean, we can see through good research, not just like fictitious research, but actually good research by great organizations, that we live in a post-Christian world, especially here in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. It's just more and more difficult for churches to exist. I'm an elder at a medium to smaller sized church. Let me tell you, the struggle is real. The money does not come in to pay the bills as easy as it once did. Is it still feasible and going fine? Yes, but it's a struggle now. The struggle is real.
Well, and we're talking about the desire we have to expand.
Yeah. That's right.
We're not just talking about survive. We're talking about expand thrive.
Do more.
That requires a different view on things.
It does. Jeremy, looking forward to having you again today, and we're going to finally reveal the big secret.
That's right. Glad to be back.
All right, man. Well, the coffee's still sitting here on the table. It's been a week now, and it still smells good. No, I'm just kidding. We record tape. But there is.
Last week, 8 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right. I would never give you week-old coffee.
No.
That's not my move.
You actually said this is very fresh, right?
Roasted yesterday.
All right.
Ground this morning.
If you could only smell this. If you could only smell through the radio. Put your nose very close to your stereo. Exactly.
It's kind of crazy.
Technology can do a lot of things you cannot smell through the radio. Yeah. So take your nose away from it. But we're going to be back in just a minute. You're going to want to hear this story. I think it's so cool. And maybe you can even check them out. Okay. This is Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy. Jeremy Hazelton joining us in studio today. Stay tuned.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Thanks for joining us. Joining us in studio today, Ryan Cozy, every week, is a co-host alongside me, and Jeremy Hazelton, pastor of the Village Church, joining us as well. As we teased you earlier, if you were listening, Jeremy's going to share with us what they have begun or what he's been a part of. I don't even know. I want to hear the whole story here. So I'm just going to turn it over to him. And Jeremy, we've been talking about bivocational leadership, or bivocational ministry, and the idea that there are some different ways to look at it than just having a job and doing ministry, that you've been able to kind of combine the kingdom aspects of, you know, earning some funds and ministry. Tell us about it. Let's reveal it.
Sure. So two things that kind of fed in this conversation. We, like a lot of churches, are up against the financial realities of what's our long-term plan to be sustained. And then beyond that, there's a lot of really cool stuff happening in the region that we want to be involved at a higher level financially, not least of which is church planting efforts. We were a church plant. We stand on the shoulders of other men and women and organizations who helped us, and we've always wanted to extend our reach and be able to do that. But, you know, when you sit down and you tally up the expenses and, you know, what you'd like to be able to do, you can always want to be able to do more. And so we started thinking, what are some other ways that we could extend our reach in ministry? What are the ways that we could sustain our staff and our ministry at Village Church and then beyond? And we started looking at the various places that we spend money as a church. One of the things that's a value for us at Village is hospitality. So we were spending a lot of money on coffee every week. We didn't buy garbage, we bought good coffee. And
we're not talking Folgers instant.
That's right. That's right. No chock full of nuts at our place. And so we were spending, and it wasn't a ton of money, but when you consider what it was significant. And one of the gentlemen who's on our staff is actually a very talented coffee roaster.
Is that a barista or something?
No,
different?
Barista is somebody who makes coffee.
Ah, gotcha.
He's just a roaster. His name's Darren Anders. He's on staff. He's our executive and worship pastor at Village Church. Mm-hmm. But kind of on the side, he's been roasting his own coffee for a number of years.
Wow.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that if he were here and you're like, oh, would you like some Keurig? Like, he's just not going to do
he's
that.
He's going to laugh you out of
the
room.
He's just not going to do it. And he'll be gracious about it, but he's thinking, like,
you're dead to me.
His inner monologue is, I can't believe you drink this swill.
I know, the type of person you are.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. He makes a value judgment immediately.
Exactly.
But So we started talking about what would be involved with, you know, hey, it initially started with, what if we just took the money we were spending on coffee and we started roasting our own, and we just eliminated that from the budget line. It was a small number, but well, let's figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
And then we started.
And it sounds fun.
Yeah, but then we started thinking, wait a minute, this actually could be something. We could be onto something here. And so we started doing a little homework and trying to figure out what would be involved. And so, long story short, we started a coffee company. Hmm. So Three Stories Coffee, THREE, storiescoffee.com. You can go and you can read the whole story about our coffee company, and you can purchase coffee from us there. We sell retail coffee to individuals. And we also have a wholesale program for churches. And I want to talk about both of those things in just a second. But really the impetus behind this was, not only is this a way to help us meet our bottom line, but the further that we got into it, the more that we started to take it apart, we recognized that within starting the coffee company, we were able to scratch a few itches. We could do a bivocational venture that would not require our staff to spend 25, 35, 40 hours a week outside of the offices, outside of Kingdom Ministry. So there's more direct time involved in the day-to-day ebb and flow of ministry, and we still have the opportunity to start this, you know, side hustle business. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece was, there's a lot of natural overlap in the coffee business with what are already Kingdom values and priorities for us at Village. Hmm. So the reason the coffee company is called Three Stories is there's really three things going on. We import direct traded coffee beans from around the world. So direct trade is a little better than fair trade. What that means is the coffee that is in that bag in front of us was grown by a man named Concepcion in Guatemala.
So you know the grower.
We know that guy. We know his farm. And he got the best price for his beans. We bought them directly from him.
I sense a mission trip to Guatemala.
Yeah, so ironically, Darren has a cousin who roasts coffee in Portland, and he has been to this man's farm, and that's how we got the connection. You know, he's got his own coffee company in the Pacific Northwest, sort of like coffee mecca.
That's like, yeah, I was gonna say that's not even abnormal.
Yeah, right. So, the direct trade thing is important to us, because everywhere that we source beans from, we know that the farmers, their employees, they're getting an equitable price. They're able to bring their beans to market in a way where they're not losing out along the way. And for us, it's a Kingdom economics issue. We're going to spend money on coffee, so why not aim those dollars in a way that honors God? Mm. So we direct trade our beans. The second thing is, we were buying coffee locally. People care about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, maybe we're just hipsters or whatever, but like, people care about that. And so the second story is, we roast this locally. It's artisan roasted. We import green beans. And then Darren, our head roaster, is like a wizard. I mean, he's unbelievable at his
smells
ability,
like he is,
to make coffee.
Well, and quick point, there's no maybe to the question of if you're a hipster or not, just for the listening
sure,
audience.
Fair enough.
If you were sitting here.
Fair enough.
I feel so uncool every time I'm around Jerry.
Like, my beard has got to get...
That's not, do that with my shoelaces.
That's not my fault.
No, it's my issue. Okay. I get it.
Fair enough.
Never mind.
So, yeah. Quick tangential story. We were at the U2 concert a couple of weeks ago, Darren and I.
Oh, my goodness. Evie's even...
I was there. I was there.
We're in the parking lot ahead of time, and we meet an older couple from Binghamton, and we start talking to them, and it ended up being a really cool conversation. They're talking to us about their son. We actually prayed with them, but as we were talking to them, they were like, you know, comes up, what do you guys do? And like, oh, we're actually both pastors at this church in the city. And they're like, oh, really? Wow. You know, they're looking at us two bearded dudes like, are you kidding me? And then like 2 minutes later, we're like, we also just started this coffee company on the side. And they both laugh out loud, and they're like, well, you look like guys who would run a coffee company.
Not pastors.
That's right. You look like guys who would run a coffee company.
By the way, Beck killed it, the opening act.
Yeah, really good.
Beck was phenomenal. So go ahead.
Really good.
Thanks, I wasn't there.
You know, you must have missed the invite, huh?
I did.
So,
apparently everybody's getting news that I'm not.
That's right. So Three Stories, direct traded coffee, equitable, sourced, you know, straight to the places that it comes from. Right now we import from Guatemala and from Burundi in East Africa. We also are in the process of importing some coffee from Ethiopia and Colombia and some other places where that's all sort of being fleshed out at the moment. it's artisan roasted locally right here in Buffalo. Mm. So if you're local, you'd be hard pressed to get fresher coffee than this.
Okay, let's take a side trail right here. Tell me, because I think it's interesting. How does this process work? I mean, you roast it. Well, what does that mean?
So we spent some money. Yeah. We'll talk about this in a second too. But there's capital involved in starting any business venture.
Sure.
So we bought some equipment. You know, we'd done some research based on Darren's expertise and some of the things that he had already done, and we purchased a hot air popper, essentially, or a hot air roaster, and it's essentially looks not unlike a popcorn machine.
I was just thinking the same thing.
But you put green beans in, and then it's got a computerized recipe setting where you can manipulate the settings, and that's how we get the varying roast profiles, light or dark or medium roast coffees, and that's how it works. So it's hooked up to a natural gas line, hot air roaster versus a drum roaster. Those are like insider baseball things, but
biz jargon.
But basically a hot air roaster gives you a much more even roast than a large drum roaster. So this is like the difference between like craft and mass produced.
Gotcha.
So you know, the drum roaster,
craft coffee.
Exactly. This is small batch roasted to order. So if you order coffee from us, we don't have it sitting in a bag somewhere. You order coffee from us, we roast it for you, and then you. So, it's as fresh as it can.
Now, do you do this at the church?
We do not. We roast off-site.
So say that church would smell amazing.
It's a little it's a little complicated because we lease space and we're on the third floor the whole deal.
Taking beans up all the way upstairs.
We buy them in 150-pound bags, and I'm not strong.
We have a special ministry for you now.
That's right.
Carrying bags of
beans.
That's right.
But the third thing, and this is the thing that I'm the most excited about, and this is really how this sort of dovetails with our conversation about bivocational ministry and how we support these things. We are able to incorporate Three Stories Coffee under the auspices of Village Church. And so it is a 100% not-for-profit coffee company. So 100% of the proceeds go directly back into Kingdom Ministry to help us offset our staff costs and ministry expenses at Village Church. But then through our church partners who buy and serve our coffee, we invest money directly back into church planting. Hmm. So just for some quick numbers, like we retail a bag of coffee for $14 to an individual. Then the wholesale cost is significantly less than that. So churches can buy our coffee at a discount, and then essentially 50% of what they would spend, it gets invested directly back into Kingdom Ministry. So the sales pitch to a church is, what if you could take half of the money you're spending on coffee and put it back into Kingdom Ministry?
And that's so this is exactly how much time we got left in this segment.
Quick. 3 minutes.
Okay, so this is exactly what's happened for us. This is what I'm pushing in my local church.
Yeah,
like this makes so much sense that we spend. You know, we're a large church. We spend a ton on coffee. Okay, why not have half of that money? Actually, let's have 100% of that money help a partner that we planted, right? And then help them to help us plant more churches.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. If you know, at DCX, get rid of the K-cups and start buying this stuff. Like it just makes so much sense. This is the type of an idea that is a part of the future of survivability and sustainability of local churches and local ministries that are doing frontline missional kingdom work.
It's really about it's intentional economics. It's money that you're going to spend anyway, or that you're already spending.
It.
And so, if you can aim that in a direction that is just and equitable and moves the needle on kingdom initiatives, why wouldn't you do that?
Right. You're already doing this. Why not target it
for
further kingdom expansion? It makes so much sense to me.
And obviously, you know, I'm part of the company that started it, but it's really good. I mean, that was a value for us. We wanted it to be something that was not just a charity. I wanted this to be something that people were like, "Man, I got to get some of that." And so we started kind of quietly serving this at Village as we were developing and getting things ready. And then we launched the website about 10 days ago and have blown it wide open. We have a few local churches that are already partnered with us to serve this, and our hope is that it will continue to blossom. So ThreeStoriesCoffee.com. Shameless plug.
Okay, I want to go back. We have to take a break here in just a minute. When we come back, I want to talk about something because you mentioned that there's some capital investment. Okay, there's some front end, cost that's got to get amortized throughout the process of making this coffee and start developing it. So there's some risk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about that in a minute and talk about managing risk within a church as it comes underneath a nonprofit and what that might mean for the leader or whatever and how that plays out and how I think it all funnels into people with certain giftings getting involved in the church and not just some pastor be like, I got an idea. I'm going to sell lawn tractors out front in church. Well, that's not going to necessarily work. Right. I don't know where that came from. Don't even ask.
I don't know. It's just your face that was priceless.
Yeah, like, I'm pulling from something from my past somewhere, I think. All right. This is Christ Together Radio. We're going to take a break so we can get our thoughts together and come back and provide good programming for you right here on WDCX.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate the fact that you tune us in. We don't take that lightly, and we're thankful for all of those who listen not only to WDCX, but to Christ Together Radio, heard every Saturday at 9 a.m. and Sundays at noon. You can also check us out digitally at WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs, and then you'll find Christ Together Radio. You can listen to every episode we've done on there, I think, just about. Every single one, but I think there's some rolling off now. Before the break, we brought up the fact that if you heard Jeremy Hazelton joining us from the Village Church, if you heard his story about developing a coffee company from underneath their church and just taking some of the skills and some of the talents that some of their people had there and developing it to be able to fund the ministry, such a cool thing. But in the process of hearing that story, I picked up, that there was some risk. There was some a chance to be taken there. And Jeremy, how do you manage that? How do you manage, so you're spending church money to kind of build on an idea, and with any business, there's some risk, but now you're risking kind of the church thing. So how do you manage that?
Sure. So last week, we talked a little bit about some of the skill set that doesn't exist in a lot of pastors. And I've had the good fortune to have some folks pour into me to help me think about things through a business lens in a way that I wouldn't have considered. So when you talk about risk, there's really two ways to think about it. I mean, one is the risk of, oh, if we do this and it doesn't work out, what have we lost, right? Like, we invested this money and it didn't work out, so that's gone. But in the business world, there's this other term that I've become familiar with over the last couple of years. It's just called opportunity cost. And it's to think about it the other way around. If we don't do this, what do we miss out on? Like, if we don't take this venture, what is the potential upside or the potential impact that we don't get to see come to fruition?
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, starting the coffee company was not only about sustaining some of our staffing and ministry expenses, it was about the ability to invest at a higher level into kingdom initiatives in Western New York. So for us, the opportunity cost was, man, if we don't do this, we don't get to help plant the churches that we want to see planted. And so you weigh that against the very real startup cost of this is going to require actual dollars and cents and capital. To be honest with you, we started talking to people who were entrepreneurial and into this sort of thing months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of, floated some lines to some of our previous church partners, like, hey, if we started something like this, is that something you would be interested in helping us with? And we chased it all the way down the line to where we figured out that even if we had to take a loan out for the initial startup costs, which were not super extensive, I mean, this is probably a $10,000 get it going, kind of venture. And then there's room for it to scale, obviously. But the relative risk compared to the upside was fairly small. But we started floating the idea to other partners and a coalition of partners, like, hey, if you gave us a little bit and you gave us a little bit, and then we basically landed on the place where even if we have to borrow 100% of the startup to get this going, it would make sense and it would be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was not just sort of, I have an idea, let's run with it. It was informed by meetings with business people. It was informed by a conversation with, like, Darren is our executive pastor who comes from a business and accounting background. And so he's fleshed out a long-term sustainability plan for the coffee company. I mean, separate of the church. Hey, if I were going to do this personally, in other words, here's what it would take and here's how it would, you know, this amount of sales over this amount of time pays off the initial investment and blah, 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 blah. I mean, the whole deal.
Full marketing plan.
Yeah, here's the path to profitability, all of that. And as we began to get in front of business leaders and other individuals and talk to them about that, we actually had a gentleman that said, you know what, I would love to underwrite that. And so we were able to have that happen, which is incredible. I mean, we are so grateful for that. But I think it's also evidence of leveraging some of those different skill sets that already exist in our churches. I mean, this was a gift that was over and above regular giving. This is somebody saying, oh, I appreciate the creativity. I appreciate the potential upside. I appreciate the kingdom impact. And I totally get why investing in something like this makes sense.
Ryan, from your perspective, just kind of dealing with churches across our region, is this a one-off or is this something that has some legs as a model?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's going to be a bunch of coffee competition, right? But no, this is it. Like, I feel like, you know, what we found here, you know, I think there's a few things that stick out to me. I feel like Jeremy and his team were very intentional about, well, what is already being allocated for certain things within an organization, and how do we offer a creative solve that helps move a kingdom idea forward? So to me, whether it's lawn tractors or it's coffee, whatever the idea is, I think, you know, like a key component that I take away from this idea is what were the costs that were already being spent within an organization, and then how do we offer a different idea to replace those costs? So to me, this is the future. Now, it doesn't have to just play in a church setting, right? So, I mean, if you look at this coffee could be marketed to, and probably is and will be marketed to things that are not sacred, you know, not churches, not, you know, so there's, you know, it's not like there's a huge cross sticking out of the T in stories, you know, and I get those pushes. I understand that. But the reality is, like, the future to this idea is the ability to take secular resources and redeem them for sacred purposes. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you start thinking with an idea with that kind of a lens, you know, so this case is, this is the idea of someone who says, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not able to necessarily go out and do, you know, legal consulting. I've got an idea for a product that I like. The hours are low. The idea seems flush. Like, we can actually do this. Boom, we're going to do this. This is just one facet of what bivocational experiences it's going to look like in the future.
Right. We've just to give an example, it's no secret here at Crawford Broadcasting. It's necessity, and we're a Christian ministry focused organization, but we are a for-profit organization, commercial radio, and we have markets with secular stations for the very same. It's the very same purpose. It's just the tax status is different. And the purpose of those markets is in markets where we have a Christian stations that have a difficult time because perhaps the city is a difficult city or whatever, we have secular stations that help fund those Christian work. So it's a very similar concept to what's already happening in kind of, again, we talk about this quote unquote secular world or the business world. There's so much to learn. And I think as the culture shifts and things shift within the church, we can learn from organizations who've had to adapt and change. Mm-hmm. And so often it's very easy to put our head in the sand as the collective church and put our head in the sand and say, this is how it's done. We're just going to plow through. It's just a difficult time, or we're just going to keep doing what we're doing because we're being faithful. And we take these words, these key buzzwords, and we apply them to our stubbornness, really. And instead of doing things like I just love what you're doing, Jeremy.
The scalability of these ideas, I think, is not to be undersold. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea, to your point, is this is something that stands on its own. Mm-hmm. I mean, if no church decided to serve this company still has legs, still stands on its own. And even as you begin to think about the sustainability of what it does with the proceeds, like, we've already chased out and thought about the long-term plans for the coffee company. Mm. I mean, as a portable church, for example, we currently lease space. We don't own a facility in the city. As this scales, if we decided to open a place where we serve this exclusively, guess what? Now we have a business that has been able to acquire a facility by the way, our church happens to meet. And by the way, we're also now teaching people how to roast coffee or how to be baristas. And so there's a job training component, community Wow. development component. Oh, by the way, it's scalable and you can roast coffee in a tiny footprint. So what if we taught other, you know, entrepreneurs how to do this elsewhere in the city? I mean, for us, this is not a let's make some coffee so we can pay our bills. This is a way to jump into an untapped stream of revenue and upside for Kingdom Impact.
Okay, that's exactly what I was trying to draw out earlier, is that this is not just, hey, we got some bills to pay.
I love that.
It's this is an opportunity for us to push forward. And I think that mentality, that is the key. That is the key to success, is that it's not we're not just trying to make it. We're trying to do something with it.
Right. So one thing I do want to add, though, to the listening audience is maybe you don't have, like, maybe your mind doesn't work this way, right? And you might be driving around, or you might be listening, going frustrated, going, why can't I think of this idea? Let me just tell you this. If you're a church leader, and this isn't, you know, the kind of the mindset that you have, it's okay. Because guess what? You can be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a part of advancing Missio Dei, God's mission in this region. And you can celebrate the fact that God gave someone within the body of the Church of Western New York an idea. And you can intentionally replace whatever budget you spend on coffee. Think about doing it through Three Stories.
Yep.
That's the point. Like, if you're not entrepreneurial, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. The diversity of God's gifting in the body is that he made Jeremy and he made his friend this, like, they're thinking this way. So you know what?
Don't be
bummed about it. Partner with it.
Yep.
And you can actually directly say that we are actually helping to plant churches in the Church of Western New York. You can do this mm-hmm. by buying a bag of coffee and buying 10 bags of coffee and buying 100 bags of coffee and buying pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds of coffee that you're already buying.
Right.
Just switch the way in which you buy it. And that is, to me, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15 of these ideas, all of a sudden, we are not hamstrung by our denominational shrinking, our network shrinking, large churches that can't support things long term. We are free to be super creative. And that's, I think, a part of the future.
And it's huge. I think what you're getting at, too, is we got to get rid of that competitive edge is still there.
It's there.
Or, and it's there in our personal lives, and it's there in the church culture too. It's like, I didn't think
Absolutely.
Of this. I don't know, you know, if I'm supporting them and they don't do things the way I do and they're not the same denomination, and we got to get rid of that. That is a survivability and forward thinking ability, necessity.
That thinking is cancerous.
Cancerous.
The bottom line is that's the kind of thinking that's cancerous. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's where our minds go in our brokenness, and we got to stop it.
Yep. Well, and to be clear, when we talk about investing in church planting with proceeds from Three Stories, mm-hmm. that's not our brand.
Right.
That's through the Church Planting Initiative of Western New York.
Which how many churches are
Anglican
signed into?
Anglican churches,
we
Assemblies of God churches,
year.
Wesleyan churches, Baptist churches. It's not one particular expression. It is multiple expressions.
We planted 5 this year.
Right.
There's 20 financial partners in CPI,
right.
21 now with Three Stories if we separate it from Village, right? And we've got over 60 of the 100-plus churches that are part of Church of Western New York interested in the conversation around church planting. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Join us.
Right.
Simple.
And even if you're outside of the region, if you're in Toronto and listening, there's a huge market in Toronto. And hey, I mean, we're a neighboring city and doing great work, and it's regional. And it's a part of our DCX family and friendships. We at DCX, we support Christ Together. We support the Church of Western New York. And if you're in Toronto and you have a huge church, or you know somebody who does or whatever, man, check out 3storiescoffee.com. That's 3, the number 3 spelled out, 3storiescoffee.com. Very easy to find, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure a search on the Googles would find it too, right?
It'll turn it right up.
And if your family unit wants to buy coffee, get online
mm-hmm.
and buy your get your family's coffee.
Yeah, I've been blessed to have a bag right here. I'm going to go home and try it in my Coffee Ninja.
Yeah, if you're local, you can pick it up, or we can ship it right to your house.
And Ryan, just so you know, I'm told Jeremy has a Coffee Ninja as well, so that makes me kind of cool.
I don't even know what a Coffee Ninja is.
So you have the U2 concert.
It's just an expensive coffee pot.
Yeah, you have the U2 concert. Yeah, that's all it is. But just to let you know, you have the U2 concert to share, and we have the Coffee Ninja to
share. Yes, that's awesome. Right, I'm actually getting online and buying this coffee right,
right now.
I really am.
The Coffee Ninja is Mr. Coffee's son who went to art school.
That's great. This is Christ Together Radio. We'll be right back after this.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy and Jeremy, except Ryan is kind of busy right now because he's buying coffee.
I'm completing my order for Three Stories Coffees.
Yeah. He's using Apple Pay, and he's a little old for Apple Pay or something.
Hey.
Is it working?
It is working, I'm not an idiot.
No, so. You're not. You're not. You're brilliant. ThreeStoriesCoffee.com. If you are just joining us, we're joined in studio today by Jeremy Hazelton, lead pastor of, lead pastor of Three Stories Coffee.
That's true,
it's kind of true,
that's
too,
also
right?
true, yeah.
Of the Village Church here in Buffalo, who is also the parent home of ThreeStoriesCoffee.com. If you're just joining us, you're going to want to listen to last week's episode and the rest of this week. So you can do that on WDCXradio.com by going to programs and clicking on Christ Together. And you'll find out a little bit about Christ Together. But you can listen to these past two episodes because I think they're neat. They kind of crescendo with our last segment, really, about Three Stories Coffee. And so in this final segment, we're going to continue our discussion just about what this really means for the church at large and how... I think what we want to do is there's this push-pull in ministry, and it's the faith and trusting God for his church to continue because it's his and it will prevail. It has for 2,000 years and it will prevail until Christ comes. However, there's this responsibility for us to steward what he's given us. And the two of those, that while they seem like they may not work together, they work perfectly together. And that's kind of how we have to think. We have to think, be creative. And I think God gives us brains to do things like this so that his church can not only continue but can thrive in today's world, Ryan, and this and a number of other things that we're working on. I love the ingenuity that is happening. That seems to be just right. There's like a little. It's almost like the storming part of the group dynamic of the Church of Western New York is coming to an end, and it's starting to form into something and perform.
Right. And I feel like there's a reality on a number of new ideas, which is, you know, the skeptic finds 18 to 20 things wrong with why this idea won't work. Mm-hmm. And then it works. Mm-hmm. And then they're going... Oh, it works. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been into this the whole time. There's this aspect of, and we see this on the diffusion of innovation curve, right? It's the idea of like there's innovators. Innovators come up with ideas. And there's a huge big middle that does not participate in the idea on the front end. But then they start to see that, oh my gosh, this actually is going to work. Jeremy, you know, he was nuts to think about buying this hot popper coffee thing, you know, and dropping $10,000 into a coffee idea. That's a stupid stewardship of an idea, you know, of kingdom resources. Yeah. And then it works. And it's like, oh, wait a second. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
And so for those of us that are, you know, if you're an innovator out there, you know, the reality is they're going to fight through that idea anyway. But, you know, my challenge to members of the body of the Church of Western New York is to perhaps... just begin embracing the idea of this very well may be staring you in the face in terms of your church's or your ministry's financial future. And instead of thinking about a new idea and just kind of poo-pooing it right out of the gate, learn from this. Take practices from this and just think about, wow, yeah, this is it. Like this is God's church is going to survive. It's going to thrive. God will advance his church. And we see that all throughout the world today. You know, like we're bummed about what's happening to the church in America because, you know, in many ways we've kind of turned our back on God. Mm. But you can go throughout any part of other parts of the world and just see the thriving of the church. Mm-hmm. Does it mean that God hasn't been here? No, it doesn't. It just means that the church is thriving in other places as well. God's still here. God's still doing things. It just, the soil's tougher. It's harder.
It's tougher.
There's greater levels of skepticism, and it just forces us to understand that the message that God has given us to carry is timeless. It's true. But as we take that into our culture, we just have to exegete our culture well. And part of exegeting our culture is the pragmatic of economics.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't as many people that come and give as there used to be. And so we've got to find ways to exist in the long run.
I think another thing about it that is underutilized, and I've seen a change in this, in large part out of necessity, but we live in something now that's called like the gig economy, right? Like you've got a lot of people who don't have one full-time thing. They've got four or five things that they do. So a lot of people, entrepreneurial, freelance, like I'm a web designer and I also code for this company and I also do this other thing.
And I have a hair cutting business.
Yeah, right. And at the end of the day, I file 1099s and that's the whole thing.
Yep.
So I've seen this happen a lot in the church planning sphere, and I would encourage more people to think about this. You can get things done with part-time employees that you used to hire full-time people for.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of times in faith-based work, we have this idea that we have to have a full-time person who does everything that happens. And generally you don't. I mean, Darren, on staff at our church, his job is a hybrid job. He has two part-time jobs for our church. He's our executive pastor and our worship director. I'm our lead pastor and our teaching pastor. Like in church planting, everybody's a utility infielder.
Yep. We're all Jose Akendos.
But wow. Good for you.
Half the audience is going, who's
Jose Akendo?
But the idea there is this requires flexibility. This is not about, I'm going to spend 45, 50 hours a week on one thing and I'm not ever going to work outside of my own little silo. And so if you can unleash people at your church who already have a skill set that you need, that's a way to get at this. If you can have them speak into you and help you by informing and even underwriting your side hustle business idea, these are all positive things that can happen. And that, like, truthfully, this isn't even that creative, this idea. I mean, this was, hey, people already spend money on this.
This dropped in your lap because
we call it a low-hanging fruit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like we had to invent a product and then convince people that they wanted it. I mean, that's how a lot of new products are started, and that is not what this is. This is, how do we make something great that people already buy? Do you guys know Del Reed?
Very well. He's one of my best friends.
So, yeah. I mean, Del's like a guy who understands this. I mean, he started his t-shirt company, and, this is something people already do. People already buy t-shirts. They're already into supporting their local teams. He's now scaled this to multiple cities, and,
Took major risk.
Yeah, of course. And it's not an expressly faith-based thing, but try and tell me it's not a kingdom initiative. Like, this is a guy who understands how to do something that people are already into and leverage those resources, aim them in a way that blesses God, that draws people to understand. I mean, Del wears his followership of Jesus on his sleeve, man. Like, you can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, I look at those types of decisions, and those are the kinds of things that I think the church is going to have to be far more intentional about underwriting, getting involved in, supporting, proliferating. And as the face of what vocational ministry looks like changes, that's not something that we have to fear. It's something we can embrace and dive into.
That's great. That's somebody we need to have on the show, Ryan.
Okay.
Is Del.
Well, it sounds like you're connected to Del.
Very well. Del and Chrissy are our family's best friends. I've known them since, oh my gosh, high school at least. And
I thought Tom Hill was your best friend.
Yeah, you know,
are we going to start something here?
We're all part of the same crew that grew up together. We all grew up together in the same church together. So that's how we all know each other.
He's wearing a necklace with like five BFF lockets on it.
I do.
You have so many best friends.
It's a heart one with pictures.
It's hard to get in there.
It's got pictures in there.
You're just a co-host, Ryan. Slow your roll.
Yeah, slow your roll.
I thought I was going to be the next one.
Listen, I hope you were inspired a little bit today as you listened to Jeremy's story and as we kind of pulled that into hopefully a context that helps you, or just some undergirding philosophies of how you can do things a little bit differently. And look, becoming a pastor in a smaller church that has funding problems isn't a life sentence. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the road for you, and you're going to have to be poor the rest of your life. No, like God has given people somewhere in your church, there's a gifting that someone has, or some way that, and begin to pray to that end. Like, Lord, show me something different. Show me how to do this, and start to talk to people. But here's the thing. If you're a pastor, if you're a ministry leader, get engaged. Get engaged in the Church of Western New York, if you're in Western New York, or in your local church community in the Toronto area, or Hamilton, or St. Catharines, wherever you're listening. Get engaged and get active with people, because that's where ideas flow, and you get to think differently, because we're going to have to do that. We need to do that in order to take the gospel to so many people, and that's what's happening in Western New York. It's like Ryan is always quick to say, it's not perfect by any means, and there's a lot of speed bumps along the way.
A lot of junk
that Ryan, that's what his job is. That's why he's always stressed. Gray hairs flying everywhere. No, he's always picking up
that's
the pieces.
That bad, huh?
No, it's not.
You don't look good.
You don't look good.
Is this
Ryan.
An intervention?
We called you in here today for a radio show.
You got to quit.
That's right. But it's worth it, because that's where you're going to find strength and encouragement to move on. And so... so do that, all right? And check out 3storiescoffee.com. It's 3storiescoffee.com. I have the light Guatemala roast in front of me.
I bought two bags of that.
Nice.
Right when we were sitting here, you bought two bags.
And for our Canadian audience, we'll figure out how to get it to you if you're into it. We'll figure it out.
I know. Be careful what you say, because we try to ship things.
I know the Tim Hortons thing up there. I mean, we're big hair, too.
No, we'll figure it out. I mean, you can get a mailbox at the UPS store or something, but we'll figure it out.
It really is. Here's the cool thing. It's not just an idea like, hey, buy this kind of junky thing. This stuff is incredible.
It actually is really, really good. I mean, and that's not because I'm good at making it. Darren is, he's an incredible, I mean, he was doing this before it was a business. I mean, he's...
when it's fresh, there's something about when it's
talented.
It's fresh that's just special.
Mm. Yeah. Roast to order is a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal.
Now, is there anybody else doing this locally?
I mean, there are a few people who are roasting coffee, but I don't know if there are... I mean, nobody's doing it from like a nonprofit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few. I mean, and there's some great ones. I mean, there's some really good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is special because you're helping to support Christian work. So get involved and go to 3storiescoffee.com. Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. We're glad you join us every week. I said it earlier, but we really don't take that for granted. If you listen to us a lot, we're just so thankful for you. And as always, get engaged in your local church. Support your pastor. Pray for him. It's a hard job, as you heard today. Like, there's a lot of challenges that the church is facing. We're not trying to say that there's like some magic idea that's going to take care of all these issues. But what we are saying is God will provide. Yeah. And so support your pastor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Pray for him or her. It is not easy being a pastor in this day and age. And, you know, I just have some friends that are in a season. It's really difficult right mm-hmm. now. It's really hard. And so pray for he or she mm-hmm. As they do the work of the ministry in this region.
That's right. Christ Together Radio. Join us every week, Saturdays at 9 a.m., Sundays at noon. You can check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Go to Christ Together Radio. We'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email or any other way you want to get a hold of us. We just really would like to hear from you. And if you like the show today, let us know. All right, stay tuned and keep supporting your pastor and go serve your King.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.